But just add them to your prayer text, if you would. And be in prayer for you, for the preachers. Satan's really got us under attack right now. Seems that he's trying to set at our weakest points. So pray our strength, and just know that I know that God is my refuge.
Yes.
He's gonna set the record straight.
Amen.
This one is him.
Praise him, all breathe. opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The word of God for God's people.
Amen.
Amen. Hold me in prayer. Praise you. Praise you.
Yes.
Bless it. Quiet. Dear Lord, Father, we come to you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. We give you praise, glory, and honor for who you are. Lord, for who you are in our lives. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for how you lifted us up and brought us out. Lord, we thank you for those that are on the on Facebook or on the phone. However, Lord, they're reaching out to you to hear your word, to spend time with your people. Because you said for us not to forsake the assembly. You said for us to go out to the world, Lord. And you made ways for us to go out and do that. Over the airways, over the internet. Thank you, God. For everything that you told us to do, you made a way for us to do it. With you, our steps are ordered. With you, our path is made straight. With you, our lives are directed. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for direction, for protection. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your guidance and for your cover, Lord. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because you are the one true living God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, that died on the cross for us, that we could be reunited with you, Lord. We just have so much to say thank you for. If we had 10,000 tongues, we would thank you enough, God. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for the activity of our hands. Thank you for breath in our bodies. Thank you for food, clothes, shelter, transportation, jobs, income. Thank you, Lord, because you are awesome, God. We say thank you, Father. We thank you, God, for mercy and for his twin grace. We know that we are not worthy except through the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ, that made us righteousness through his blood. We say thank you, Lord. We still see it and we fall short daily. But your grace and your mercy cover us and keep us and protect us and guide us and lead us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We all err. We all fall short. Lord, I thank you for that precious forgiveness that you put in our hearts, Lord, that we might forgive one another. And Lord, that we might go on from there once heaven forgiven to love with the love of God. That agape love, Lord. We thank you for that. For placing it in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for opening this church to come back and praise your name together. We thank you, dear Lord, for those people that are here that were sick. We thank you, Lord, for those that are out there that are still sick, Lord, because we know that you said, by your stripes, they are healed. There was a list called this morning. But on that list, Lord, there isn't anybody that you can't heal. If it's your will. And God, we let turn everything over to your will. That your will be done. We pray for the family that's bereaving, for Sister Chloe and for her family, Lord. As they go through this time of bereavement, Lord, we pray for them. For all of those that are still bereaving, those that are gone on, because bereavement don't last for just a day, Lord. You said that we should rejoice because they go home to be with you. this morning, Lord. As we come to praise and honor you, we ask you to bless the man that's going to come and bring your word, Lord. Let him decrease that you might increase in him. Let us not see him, but only hear the words that you send through him, Lord. Not us judge him for what he's done in the past or doing now, but that he's being used by you to send your word. Oh, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we're here to hear from you. And we believe and we trust, Lord, that we're going to hear your word. That you've got a word for us, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds that we will receive what you have for us this morning. We thank you, Father God, for everything. We give you praise, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. Your word, Lord. We say, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you're doing, what you're going to do, and what you've already done. We praise you, dear Heavenly Father. In your Son Jesus' name, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
To Minister Seward, Minister Rapley, in their absence, and to our executive board, thank you for your service. I give honor to my wife for all that you do. To my parents, thank you for the love and support that you've shown me over the years. And to our two brothers, for all of the love and support over the years that as I've gone along this Christian journey, truly, it is an honor and a blessing to serve you in this capacity. Well, put your hard heads back on. All right? Because I've been called back to work.
All right.
And I'm headed back up on the scaffold.
Amen.
And I've got a, my job is to tear things down that ain't built right. And to help lead in the reconstruction according to our instructions that God has given us. Amen. Now, in order for me to do my job, I'm gonna be dropping some pretty heavy stuff on me. Okay. So, if you get hit, don't worry. Dr. Jesus is in the house.
All
right. Amen. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. There's no other help I know. Father, I said, you will please send your precious anointing this morning. Help me to decrease so that you may increase in me. Dear Lord, lead and guide me. Give me what I need, dear Lord, to give the people. Dear Lord, I pray this morning that someone might be delivered. Dear Lord, I pray that some strongholds might be released. And dear Lord, I just pray that the meditations of my heart and the words from my mouth will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, for you are my redeemer. You're my rock. You're my all in all. Amen. Those of you who have your instruction manuals this morning, remember your manuals are your Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Those of you who have the instruction manuals, I want you to hold them up in the air right now and say, bread of heaven.
Bread of heaven.
Bread of heaven.
Bread of heaven.
Feed me.
Feed me.
Until I want no more. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 20 through 25. And if you would stand while I read. And it reads, and we're reading from the King James Version this morning. We're still in the King James Version. He that hath a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. And we add, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bone. We're going to stop right there. 23:24. Amen?
Amen.
Now, last month, I spoke to you from the subject title, "There Ain't No Fool Like an Old Fool."
Amen.
And this is true. This is true.
Yep.
But this morning, I'd like to suggest to you that there ain't no man like a wise man. Amen? A man of God that does things God's way.
Yes.
To the best of his ability. A man with good integrity. Amen? So, we said to you that most of the book of Proverbs were written by King Solomon under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And I told you that they say King Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. I also told you that the book of Proverbs is a book of practical insights and guidelines for life. And that the main theme is found in chapter 1 and verses 7, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And I told you that everyone under the sound of my voice had acquired a whole lot of knowledge, which means you got a lot of facts in your head. And that having knowledge is all right, but God wants us to have wisdom. And I told you that wisdom is applying those facts to life. Without wisdom, our knowledge is useless. Amen? So for those who were asleep, and for those who weren't present, let's recap or review the sermon. Now we're going to focus on the wise man today. Amen? We're going to leave them fools alone. Amen? For they are unteachable. They hate correction and instruction. Amen? But a wise man loves correction and instruction. Always looking to learn and better himself. Amen? Now, we started in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 20, which says that that he that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he.
Yes.
And we looked at this word wisely. We found that it meant in a way that showed good experience, knowledge, and good judgment. And I was admiring how so many people in the church showed signs of wisdom. Not meaning that we were perfect, but that we learned from our mistakes. And that we apply our knowledge to life. Ain't no man like a wise man. Verse 21 says that the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of lips increases learning. So the wise should be called prudent. We said that, number one, a prudent person is someone that has good judgment in the use of resources and is careful and practical. Number two, we said that a prudent person has the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. And number three, we said a prudent person knows how to handle their business. They can make a dollar out of 15 cents. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Mama taught me this when I was about 9 years old. Mama had become incapacitated, which meant she wasn't able to do all of her daily functions for the family anymore. She taught me how to shop for groceries. So on her good days, she would manage her way to the car. And she would drive me down to Food World. And I would go in and shop for 2 weeks of groceries. She would give me a list this long. Sometimes it had stuff on the back. But Mom, she knows how to charm me, you know. She say, I gave you a little extra so you can get yourself a little something good. She knew me well. But she also taught me how to check the quantity. She taught me how to compare the quality of things. She taught me how to get more bang for your buck. She cut coupons and she piled them high. She, when something's on sale, we got a year's supply. If I had a time, I couldn't stretch a dollar. Nobody can. Am I right about it? That's my only challenge. As a kid, I remember Mama would walk around the house saying things like, a penny saved is a penny earned. Waste not, won't not. Well, I was what in the world is this woman talking about? I'm a kid. Well, when I started working and living out there in the cruel, cruel world on my own, I began to see just what Mama meant. See, if you can save enough on this, then you can buy that.
Yeah.
But if you spend too much on this, you can't get that. She also taught me that it's good to have credit for emergencies. But it was much better, if you could, to save up and get what you want. Don't you know that credit don't cost you a fortune? Sometimes you pay two or three times more for something when you buy on credit and go to distance. But if you buy cash, things will be cheaper because you got bargaining power. You see, sometimes while you're saving up for an item, another car, kitchen appliances, that motor that you love to have, whatever it might be. Sometimes somebody gets in a jam, or maybe they bit off more than they can chew, and they need to just unload one real quick, and you can get it dirt cheap. It happens all the time. It's got to be proven. Amen? Ain't no man like a wise man. Now, verse 22 says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. Now we said we're gonna leave the fools alone today, didn't we? So let's just go with understanding is a wellspring of life to him that hath it. Understanding is a wellspring of life. So don't forget that it's very important that we understand how God thinks. And understand that our opinion means nothing. And if we know about it, we're wrong. We have an instruction manual here that tells us how to live. When you understand God's way, then you have the victory. You quit. Now, for those of you that's taking notes, write these scriptures down. It's about understanding God's ways. Y'all in Proverbs, so I got to do right the notes. Proverbs 15:3 tells us that God is aware of all that happens. 15:11 tells us God knows the heart of all people. 16:33 tells us God controls all things. 18:10 says God is a place of safety. 11:31, God condemns the wicked. 15:8 tells us God hears and delights in our prayers. 15:25 says God cares for the poor and needy. 17:5 lets us know that God hates evil. These are just a few of the characteristics of God that has been laid out for us in Proverbs. Understanding God's ways and applying them to our lives creates in us wisdom and victory. Amen?
Amen.
Ain't no man like a wise man. Verse 23 says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. So in other words, a wise heart tells his mouth to shut up and listen. You see, you're supposed to ask questions with your mouth. Your one mouth. And listen with your two ears. To those that God has placed in your life. Listen to your leaders. Yes. Listen to their instruction and their wise counsel. And add to your knowledge. Proverbs chapter 18 tells us that in verse 15, the heart of the prudent seeks knowledge. Is your heart prudent? Are you seeking knowledge? In other words, is there an anointing on your life to learn? Ain't no man like a wise man. Verse 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bone. Wow. That sounds good, right? Yeah. Well, what does it mean? If you turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 and 14, where it says, my son, eat thy honey, because it's good. Eat honey, my son, it's good. And a honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. Yes. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off.
Yes.
As the NIV translation say, know also that wisdom, that wisdom is like money for you.
Yes.
If you find it, if you find wisdom, there is hope for your future. And your hope would not be cut off.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Ain't no man like a wise man.
Yeah.
You see, church, there are so many benefits to being wise.
Yeah.
The instruction manual here in chapter 3 and 4 tells us that a wise person is loving and faithful.
Yeah.
They say they trust in the Lord. They put God first. They turn away from evil.
Yes.
They know right from wrong. Mm-hmm. They listen and learn. Mm-hmm. And does what's right.
Yes.
And the benefits they endure are a long, prosperous life.
Yes.
Favor with God and people.
Yes.
A reputation for good judgment. Success. Health. Honor. Mm-hmm. Pleasure. Peace. And God's protection. Ain't no man like a good man.
Yeah, all right.
Ain't no man like a wise man. 8 and 9, you will see that a person with wisdom possesses knowledge and discretion. They hate pride. They hate arrogance. They hate evil behavior. They respect and fear God. They give good advice. They have common sense. They love correction. They are teachable. And they know God. And the benefits of that is riches, honor, justice, constant learning and understanding. And I say the best for last. God's favor.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Ain't no man like a wise man. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you this. And I'm going to go get some chicken, okay? So, I'm going to wrap this thing on up. If you're writing, you want to write this down. We're going to go through it real quick. The Bible uses the special description of wise to describe 12 significant people. 12. The number that represents authority, appointment, completion, and signifies the perfection of government or rule. They, the 12, are helpful role models when seeking wisdom. Take note of the 12. First is Joseph. In Acts 7:10, he was a wise leader who prepared for a famine and helped rule Egypt. Second was Moses, another wise leader. In Acts 20-22, he learned all the Egyptian wisdom. Then he graduated to God's lesson in wisdom and led Israel out of Egypt. Number three, in Exodus 31:1-5, we have Bezalel, who was a wise artist who designed and supervised the construction of the tabernacle and all its utensils in the desert. Fourth, we have Joshua. Deuteronomy 4:19 describes him as a wise leader who learned by observing Moses and obeying God. He led the people into the promised land. Fifth, David, a wise leader. In 2 Samuel 14:20, he never let his failures keep him from the source of wisdom. And he revered God. Six, ladies. 1 Samuel 25:3 gives us Abigail, a wise wife who managed her household sensibly in spite of a surly and mean husband. Amen? Seven, we have a wise counselor named David. I'm sorry. He wasn't named David. He named Daniel. In Daniel 5:11-12, he was known as a man in touch with God and a solver of complex problems with God's help. Eighth is described in Matthew 12:1-12. That was the Magi. The Magi, better known as the three wise men. They were wise learners that not only received special knowledge of God's visit to earth, but they also checked it out personally. Ninth, there was Stephen, a wise leader. The book of Acts 6:8 explains that he organized the distribution of food to the Hellenistic widows and preached the gospel to the Jews. Number 10. 10th would be Paul. Paul is outlined in 2 Peter 3:15-16, was a wise messenger to spend his life communicating God's love to all that would listen. Then, 11, there was a man named Solomon, who they say was the wisest man on earth, who in 1 Kings chapter 3, 5 through 14, and chapter 4, verses 29 through 39, was described as a man who knew what to do, even though he often failed to put his own wisdom into action. So they say that Solomon was a wise man. But I say, who is that? I mean, I can't even tell y'all. That's one number. And that number is 12. The number that represents authority, the number that represents completeness, the number that represents perfection, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. As we find Luke 2, verses 40 and 52, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23-25, it says, he was a wise youth. He was a wise savior. He possessed the wisdom of God. Ain't no man like a wise man. Amen. Not only did he live a perfect life, but he died on the cross to save us and make God's wise plan of eternal life available to us. Amen? Jesus, would you please come? Please come. The doors of the church are now open. If you want to join this body of believers, and you want the opportunity to serve the wisest man that ever lived, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He died and he rose to set us free. I say he did it for you, and he did it for me. Won't you come? Somebody, while it's still daylight, you know the sun is going down. And tomorrow, just might be too late. Anybody want to be at the meeting?
Yes.
I want to be at the meeting. I want to be at the meeting. When all saints come home. After.
Oh,
Let the redeemed say.
Amen. Amen. Amen.